Hey guys, welcome back to another week of Autastic, your comedian's guide to autism. I am one of your hosts, Kirk Smith, and here's always my co-host,
Graham K. Hello everybody, thanks so much for listening. Welcome back to another episode. This is the comedian's guide to autism. We are two comedians. We are not people who have autism, but we do have loved ones with autism. Kirk has a 19-year-old son, higher on the spectrum, and I have a younger brother who is also on the spectrum. Actually, your son, lower, I guess, would be on the spectrum.
Yeah, I don't want to jump in, but if it depends. He's higher, lower functioning, higher spectrum of autism, if that's what you were getting at.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to get at. It's so confusing to me still. Because they want to take...
We've only been doing this for 3 years, so I get it. It's complicated. Yeah.
But it's so... You know what I mean? It's like... I just don't like how... Not to get off on a tangent that we weren't planning on talking about, but I just don't like saying someone's like, you know, lower on the spectrum.
Well, the only reason that makes me uncomfortable is where you don't want to somehow equate worth. Like, he's worth lower amounts or something. That's the part that makes me a little...
Yeah.
But the severity of his affliction is definitely higher. He's definitely more severely afflicted than your brother, Pete. Tell us about Pete, buddy.
Pete's pretty good. Not a lot to update this week, you know. Same old, same old. He's just working. My brother's 33. You know, he's fine. You know, he's no real news. He's starting to meet with people more, which is good. He is going to do archery, and I think he's going to do bowling. So that is happening, and. So instead, I thought he was only going to do one of the two things, but it turns out he's going to do both, and he's agreed to hang out more with people, and his special needs group has like realized that, and they are going to set up meetings with a friend that is on the same sort of spectrum that he is at, and force them to be friends, but they both. Said, you know, like, you guys like each other, right? You guys want to hang out? And they're both like, yeah. So they're going to watch movies, and Peter's going to, like, make dinner. Like, they're going to have, like, little
That's great.
Buddy times.
You know, it sounds like good. Like an autism meetup group for two people.
Yeah, pretty much, I
That's
guess.
Great. Yeah.
Or just two bros hanging out.
It is.
Two adult men being forced by their parents to hang out with other people.
Well, in fairness, as you get older with or without autism, it's just harder to make friends. Everybody's busy. Everybody's got a lot going on.
And everyone's less malleable. You
Super
know,
less malleable and less willing to just suffer through the beginning part, which is going to be a little awkward and not embarrassing, but just you don't know the person. So you're just like awkwardly hanging out.
Yeah. You need like a school or a workplace to force you to hang out with somebody so you organically get over the hump of the awkwardness.
And you don't feel weird about it because you have to be there because you're working or because of school.
Exactly. No one's too needy at the beginning because you have to be there. It's just organic. And then you're friends. And because I'm a comedian, you know, I got to like call people and be like, do you want to hang out? It's so embarrassing.
That's funny. But
a guy butt dialed me by accident, and you know, and I was like, "Well, do you want to get lunch?" And he was like, "He was like, all right." A guy didn't know very much, so we had lunch. And that's how men make friends.
Random phone calls, random accidental phone calls. That's
the butt. His butt made our friendship strong. That's the only way we'll reach out is if our butts do it for us.
If it's on accident.
Yeah. How's your son? How's JJ?
My son's doing good. We had a call yesterday. He is, they're scheduling he's the repairs for his room. As longtime listeners know, we were trying to do that this summer when
still,
I was there.
Still not happened.
Still not done. So it's in 3 weeks. And we're nervous about it, but excited. It's going to be good. And
Where's he going to go when everything's being repaired? Because he ripped up the carpets, so it's all, or the linoleum, rather. So it's,
linoleum,
so it's all,
yeah.
It's all
and
concrete.
The walls.
And then the drywall, the sheetrock. So what's gonna, where's he going to go when all that's being
Well, there's another group home that he stayed at once before, about 2 years ago. Like, and it was an emergency situation where his mom was sick. It was a whole thing, probably too long to get into this podcast. But he did not like that place. So I remember that specifically. He broke some windows. He just got excited and was jumping around and broke some windows. So hopefully he doesn't remember it that way. But my gut feeling is he has a very good memory, so I bet he does remember it. But that's what we got to do. We got to, you know, he can't live on the concrete floor forever, and the walls are coming down because he keeps tearing them out. So that's what's going on there. I'm in Calgary this week. Calgary, Alberta. I didn't say Canada like you don't like.
Yeah, thank you. I was gonna help you and fill it in. Calgary, Alberta, Canada. You're in basically Canada's Texas. How is it up there?
It's interesting. It's very interesting. I've got really sick. I went to a place called, I don't know if you've even heard of this, and you're Canadian. There's a place called Army Navy. It's a department store up in Canada. Have you heard of it?
No, is it like a surplus store?
Nope, it's some sort of wacky store that has a lot of like jackets and winter equipment. And I thought, oh, I'll get some stuff up here in case I want to go skiing or something. You know, Banff is right next door. Anyhow, they had these pre-made meals, and so I love Indian food. So I bought these pre-made Indian food meals, and I got
really sick.
really sick. Oh, I haven't been sick like this in probably 8-10 years. I don't know, like up all night. Like I was sick. And like right after I ate it, like an hour later, I'm like, oh no, this is not, my belly was like the size of a basketball. I'm not exaggerating. And I was like, oh no, all this is coming back out. This was not good. It was bad. Oh, and then I had three shows that night. Yeah, I was pretty excited.
How'd you do the shows?
Well, I stopped vomiting like 5 in the morning. Then I slept till like 1 or 2. And then I just got down to the store, had some Gatorade, and then laid in bed till showtime, went straight to the shows, did the shows, went straight back to bed.
Can't believe you made it through the shows.
Well, it was, you know what happened was I butchered 2 or 3 of my own jokes, and then I just made fun of myself. Like, and yeah, that was most of the set, to be honest. Nobody taped it. But the people laughed. Oh, wow, there's some traffic where you're at.
Oh, yeah, I'm in L.A. I'm in L.A. right now, and you know what? They're louder than New Yorkers. These people can't drive.
I'm just glad
mayans.
It's on the shoes on the other foot. Every week, you complain about my noise, but lately it's been you, buddy.
See, L.A.'s louder. L.A.'s
it
louder.
Is.
There's
it is.
Helicopters.
Well, you live in Brooklyn, too, just like not really, you know, it could be a little more relaxing, I think. I don't know.
Yeah, it is more relaxing. But I would say once a day out my window I hear, move it. Screw you.
I feel like there's definitely more cussing.
Yeah.
I feel like it's definitely more cussing in New York. I can cut that part out. But yeah, there's definitely more of a go F yourself here in New York than LA. Yeah.
People in New York are like, if they make a mistake though, they'll be like, all right, my bad. But like, so the guy I'm staying with right now, very funny comedian John Hastings, he bicycles in L.A., which is a death wish.
A recipe for two broken arms. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. And he says every time a car cuts him off or something, they yell at him here. Like the other day, a lady, he cut him off, and he was like, watch where you're going. And she pulled over and was like swearing at him. And then went to get out of her car, and then he got off the bike, and he's a giant man, and she was like, oh, and then got back in her car and drove away. And then today, he was biking back from a meeting he had, and a car, there's no pedestrians in LA, no one walks, so no one thinks about pedestrians. So his car comes zooming out of a driveway, you know, at like 20 miles an hour, not even, you know, thinking that they're about caring about on the sidewalk or on the street or whatever. And he, my buddy's bicycling on the road and has to like swerve out of the way because he would have been killed. And then the guy stopped and goes, "Hey, it's your fault." And he goes, "What?"
Wow.
He goes, "You're going so fast." He goes, "You shouldn't be in the middle of the road." He's like, "If I was on the sidewalk, I would have been killed." He goes, "Yeah, well, well, you're wearing sunglasses. And he goes, get back in your car and shut up. And the guy goes, okay. But the guy felt so bad he almost killed somebody that he tried to put the blame on him. That's an L.A. thing.
Might be an L.A. thing. I find L.A. drivers a little more passive-aggressive than New York drivers, or just a little bit more just plain aggressive. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anyway, so he's getting your son's getting everything's getting fixed in his place.
Yeah, he's getting fixed.
It's going to be stressful.
Yeah, we got 3 weeks, so we're trying to figure it out. His caregivers are going to them. They've got a schedule. We've been talking to him about it. I talked to him about it yesterday. I'm going to talk to him about it again tomorrow. And yeah, that's what's going on with my boy. And I'm getting ready for a trip to go see him beginnings of December, I hope. Hope to see him beginnings of December.
Because he's in Sweden.
He's in Sweden. Svenska, Javist.
Yep. He lives in Sweden.
Little Swedish boy. Should we do a... What do you think, buddy? Should we do in the news?
Let's do in the news. To wrap up our week in review, don't get Indian food in Calgary, Alberta at a place called Army Navy.
Yeah, if you have the chance to get a pre-made Indian meal at a department store...
called Army Navy.
A discount department store that's really rough
around
the edges.
In Calgary, Alberta, Canada, where there are probably 100 Indian people.
I don't know. I haven't done the numbers, but I think part of the problem is maybe don't have meals that were made 6 years before and then put in plastic bags. And then frozen in the Calgary winter, and then reheated in the summer. Then frozen in the winter, then reheated in the summer, and then
There's no refrigeration.
Put out in some shelves.
Goes by the seasons. that's doing the news. This week we're going to do two articles, but they're both related, and they are both related to a topic we've discussed a few times on this podcast before: getting employment. Which, you know, is something I can talk about and something you hope to be able to talk about in the future with your son. My brother has 3 jobs he's very proud of, as our listeners know. And, so do you want to get to the first article?
Yeah, our roving reporter, Jill Escher, makes this one of her things. And
One thing I want to say is...
There we go.
Jill Escher, recorded a couple interviews for us, and we played one last week. We're going to play the rest the next couple months. And she, I met her. She came to one of my shows, and I did not mention it in the last episode, and she wrote us an email and yelled at us. What happened was, Jill, is we recorded 10 minutes into the last podcast, and we had technical issues and had to erase it and re-record. And in that first part, I did mention you came to one of my shows, and I'm sorry. I know I'm a bad person, but thank you. It was great to meet you. You're awesome, and appreciate you coming to my show. Yeah, it was good to finally put a face to a name, and now I've mentioned it. And hopefully you listen to this episode.
The unforgettable Jill Escher. I'm sure she'll hear this. Okay. Next, here's the first article. This is out of the Houston Chronicle. 500,000 teens with autism will become adults in the next 10 years. Well, where will they work? All right. When Olivia Shanks landed in hospital, it changed her life. She didn't arrive as a patient, though. She came into work. The 21-year-old who has high-functioning autism has struggled to get to places on time. Some basic work tasks stress her out, and dependency on others has dinged her self-confidence. Her work at the Memorial Hermann Southwest Hospital's Food Services Department came via Houston's nonprofit group sourcing jobs, training, and support for the population that's exploding but finds new opportunities to live as fully as possible. Okay, I'm going to jump forward. The climate autism diagnosis is alarming. This year, the Centers for Disease Control Prevention upped their estimates to 1 in 59 U.S. births. Okay, we know all that. Here we go. Nearly half of the 25-year-olds with the disorder have never held a paying job. 90% of adults with autism are unemployed or underemployed. Some are too impacted to work once they get out of school-based vocational services by 22. But many who could work face depression and isolation and idle on their parents' couch, financially dependent on them, government or community organizations. Researchers Research shows job activities that encourage independence reduce symptoms and daily living skills. Sorry, and reduce symptoms and increase daily living skills. If it increased the symptoms and the skills.
Yeah, that'd be bad. But I can attest to the article's version, not your version.
Article's version is better.
Yeah, I can attest that my brother has a lot more confidence and less depression and the symptoms of his autism. I can see have been mitigated a little bit. Like he's a little more.
I think that makes sense, don't you think?
Yeah, I think that's with anybody. If you're an active brain,
exactly,
is just a better brain. It's a muscle. It's like doing an arm curl. You got
to
use it.
Not just that. As a human being, I feel like you feel a sense of accomplishment just to have a job, just to be able to do something with your time.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it feels good to contribute, to be part of the. To part of society. All right, we'll jump through it forward a little bit here. Stereotypes run along the spectrum of their own. On one end, there is a savant like the 1988 film Rain Man, which the autism community disavows as inaccurate or oversimplified. And on the other is the quote-unquote tech nerd who reads computer code as easily as Dick and Jane, but is missing the chip to get the jokes around the office. These perceptions make it difficult to get and keep meaningful work. October marks the 30th anniversary of the National Disability Employment Awareness Month, highlighting job needs and contributions of the disabled. I'm going to jump forward a little bit. It talks about some of the partners in the Houston area, which is great. But if you're listening to this podcast in New York or the Netherlands or Japan, you probably don't care about. Let's talk about the specifics for this person. She's basically started as an intern in the kitchen and cafeteria. Job coach Rachel Pasnarek worked on the sociability with Shanks and two others for 6 weeks this spring. The goal is to get them secure enough with themselves to apply for a job and get in. Shanks did. Her experience in the hospital setting helped her land a position with benefits as a patient transporter at DeBakey VA Medical Center. You know what? JJ would be good at a patient transporter. He could probably just lift somebody and put them on the little gurney. He's a big boy. If we could teach him to lift carefully, I think that'd be something he could physically definitely do. This is an interesting article. Anything you want to add on this one, Graham? I'm jumping ahead to see if there's, we have two, so I don't want to focus too much on this
one.
Yeah,
totally. No, just that just to reiterate what I've already said, you know, I think that all of our listeners already know. It's just totally, it's the big issue. There is more people with autism being born every day, and it is an epidemic, and it has been an epidemic for the past 20 years or so, and there's a lot. What are we going to do with these people? It makes sense to find a way to ease the burden on society and on the parents and get them to work. And maybe get some tax dollars coming back into the system rather than taking tax dollars out, which brings us to the next article.
Well, one thing I do want to add. Sorry, I'm jumping in late here. Sorry, the transition was excellent.
But thank you.
The picture is a picture of a boy folding pizza boxes, and at the end of the article, it highlights him a little bit. Talks about how the general manager at MOD Pizzas West in the Galleria location has hired 15 to 20 off-campus learners and holds them accountable like any other of his staff. He noted that one didn't work out because he made excuses for slow or poor performance. Everyone at MOD is special. Check the disability at the door. It's very interesting.
Where is MOD? What city?
This is Houston. Houston. At the Galleria, yes. And I really like, now this is the part that I really like, because you have to be able to, as an employer, have the ability to hold some, you know, to hold the employees accountable, because it's going to, you know, at some point they need to produce. And that kind of leads us into our next article where it talks about supervision.
Well, big ups to MOD Pizza in Houston. Go get some pizza in Houston. And if you live in Dallas, drive to Houston for your pizza.
5 hours, worth it.
Fort Worth, do it.
The next article is from the Philly Voice. And Temple professor urges more employers to hire people with autism. This gentleman wrote a book, and he highlights what he thinks is important. Tom Edwards, he was a professor at Temple University, a management professor, and he wrote a book about the importance of this. It is funny that, quick touch on this before we start, until it hits home, everybody's so you know, in the dark about this. And then once you have a son with autism or a daughter with autism, because this gentleman has a son with autism, then you become an expert. Then you're interested. Then you tune in. And it's very interesting how that works, if that makes sense.
Well, it's like that with anything, with every disease.
I agree.
I mean, Patrice O'Neill is a comedian, has a good joke about that. But yeah.
Yeah, what's the joke? You know, as long as you give him credit, you can do the joke. Yeah.
No, I can't. I'm not going to. It's a little rude.
Okay. is this the diabetes joke? I think I know which one you're getting at.
I think so, yeah.
But yeah, I don't know anything about prostate cancer, but if I got prostate cancer, I would learn a lot, I'm sure. Yeah. Okay, here we go. Tom Edwards remembers a former colleague in the aerospace industry who was a computer whiz back in the day when computers took over entire rooms. The man, chief engineer, was incredibly talented, but he rarely made eye contact, kept strange hours, and often arrived wearing clothes that did not match. Years later, Edwards realized his colleague likely was on the autism spectrum. By then, he had a son with autism who struggled to launch a successful career. He always wanted to do a good job, said Edwards, a Temple University engineering management professor who has led workshops on the benefits of hiring employees with neurodiverse conditions. It never quite worked out, and I didn't know why it took me so long to figure this out, but eventually it dawned on me. He's not being supervised well. About 80% of people with neurodiverse conditions are either underemployed or unemployed, according to Edwards. That includes anyone with Asperger's syndrome, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, or autism. More big companies like SAP, which we've covered a few times covering their program, are investing in employees with autism, but many smaller and middle-sized companies, which employ the bulk of the workforce, do not have the resources to implement programs developed by bigger companies. That's why Edwards wrote a book, Leading Team Members with Superpowers. I love that title. Which aims to help business managers empower employees with autism and other neurodiverse conditions. The book is complete, but he's seeking funding through Kickstarter to cover the self-publishing's costs. There's no magic formula. There's no silver bullets. There's a number of challenges. And there's different ways to address these challenges. You just have to understand it, practice it, and get good at it. People with autism have so-called deep specific skills, quote-unquote, abilities that range from the absolutely amazing, quote-unquote, to important everyday skills, Edwards says. But they often have weak social skills, a disadvantage in obtaining a job. During the interview, people with autism are much less likely to maintain eye contact, greet the interviewer with a firm handshake, but they may have skills necessary to succeed at the job. They're not going to pass the charm test. You've got to forget all that stuff, all those biases. None of that matters. You've got to look for the evidence that they've got in those deep, specific skills, said Edwards. At SAP, the software giant at the U.S. headquarters in Newtown Square, New Delaware County, has sought to mitigate those employment benefit. I'm going to start that sentence over. At SAP, the software giant with U.S. headquarters in Newtown Square, Delaware County, has sought to mitigate those employment barriers through its Autism at Works program. Launched in 2003, the program includes a six-week pre-employment training period that allows SAP to evaluate candidates' capabilities and give them an opportunity to sharpen skills that make them more marketable. And it goes on to highlight some of the other companies Microsoft has a program. There's a few other big companies that do it. Ernst & Young has one. But really, talking about getting this down to the lower level companies, mid and small size companies that could really take this program and get more out of our community, get more out of our society by employing people with autism.
Absolutely. Yep. No, it's a problem, and we gotta work towards it. And I don't know what else to say. I think. That article says it all, and you can look up those articles. And
we'll post them.
Philly Voice.
We'll post these on Facebook. If you're interested in more, learning more about this guy, his name is Tom Edwards. He's at Temple University. He's an engineering management professor. I find it encouraging that more people on the periphery who don't necessarily have autism but have loved ones with autism taking the time and effort, because this is a big thing. You know, it takes time to write books, to write books, to hone the information and to get it out there to try to better the community. I think it's encouraging. It's exciting.
You've done it. You wrote a book. You know what it's like.
It's a lot of work, man. It's a lot of work, but I find it's, you know, we had a group come out. I was at Laugh Lines in Vancouver last week, and a group just on accident came out to that works at an autism place, and they were like, just kind of shocked that there's stuff like this out there, but there is stuff that that if you look that that's encouraging and fun and
absolutely
and positive.
Positive stuff. And also what he said in there was, you know, look past the charm and just go, you know, it's for what they can actually do.
Yeah.
You know,
because we all know people that are very charming that, man, they don't do anything.
Yeah, you can Google Dr. Death.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
The doctor who charmed his way.
Oh, it's brutal.
Yeah, he's like a doctor in, like, I think Vermont or something?
No, Texas. Texas.
He's just like a handsome guy who charmed his way. And
he started in Memphis.
Through medical school.
Yeah, and he moved to Dallas.
Killed he killed like 70 people.
Yeah.
So he's the opposite end, where if you just hired an autistic man who couldn't look at you, in the face and just stared at your shoulder,
but this other guy's so attractive. Yeah, he's going to kill you with spine surgery.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, but he has blue eyes. Yeah, yeah, he's going to kill you.
Yeah. Peter, my brother Peter is the most, he will never be late. He will never be late. And he will always do exactly what you tell him. If you show him, take the time to show him, and have patience, my brother will never be late, and he will never get it wrong.
Honestly, this
will just be done.
Yeah, the last article has that picture of the boy folding pizza boxes. He'd kill that job. You show him how to fold them once, he'd just fold the whole day.
Could your son do that job, you think?
I think he might be able to.
That's exciting.
I know. I think he might be able to. I'm gonna have a conversation with somebody.
Yeah, this is the thing about this podcast is like sometimes it helps us too. It helps us realize
stuff
we could be doing. Like I honestly, if it weren't for this podcast, I don't think I would have pushed my brother and my parents to get him back into doing athletics. Like
right.
Now he's doing archery and he's doing bowling. And just sort of like it's constantly thinking about something. I'm constantly watering the plants of what Peter's life is in my brain.
Yeah.
You know, if that makes any sense.
And that's what it takes, I think. It's like little incremental steps. If you can just keep, at least my case, I'm always trying to just move them a little bit more towards self-independence, self-reliance, and yeah, just keep moving them in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. Well, did we do it?
We did it, guys. Graham, tell us about what you got going on this week, buddy. Tell us your Instagram, where you're going to be at, what's going on?
Okay, well, I guess I will. I'm going to be...
Sorry, was that too bossy? Sorry, buddy.
No, it's fine.
Did I just dad you? I wasn't trying to, man.
I got nothing. I'm going to be appearing on the Colbert Show, late night with Stephen Colbert next Friday, which would be... Let me look it up, get the exact date
say
for
the
you.
Date.
Yeah, hold on. Let's say the date. Here we go. November 2nd, 2018.
Oh, that's great, man.
November 2nd, 2018. That's a Friday. I'm going to be on Late Night with Stephen Colbert.
Amazing.
And you can follow me at Mr. Graham K on Twitter and at Instagram K on Instagram. I'm also, if you want to look up showtime, show dates, if you want to contact me, I am, what is my website? ComedyByTheGraham.com. There's just too many things these days. ComedyByTheGraham, Graham is spelled like my name, .com. And what do you got going on? You're in
this
Calgary.
Weekend I'm at Calgary at the Yuck Yucks. Next weekend I am at the Vancouver Yuck Yucks. That weekend that Graham's show comes out, November 1st, 2nd, 3rd, I think it is. Maybe it's October 31st, 1st, 2nd, 3rd. I'm at the Vancouver Yuck Yucks. And then I've got shows all week in Vancouver. Check me out at Kirksmith Comedy on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Add me, guys. I try to post my shows all the time. And I try to keep up and message everybody when I'm going to different towns. But if you add me, that helps because I could post the posters. And, I think that's it. Do I have anything else I want to talk about? That's it, guys. Have a great week. You can do it.
Yeah. Thanks.